Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to Highland Park United Methodist Church. This morning, I really have just a simple question for you. It's really just this. Who is it that you're spending the most time listening to right now? I mean, in this season that we're in, who is it that you're spending the most time listening to? And another way to ask that question is, who are you giving authority in your life right now to help you decide what to believe, and once you know what you believe, about what to do? I mean, let's just be clear. We are living in a time where we have lots of big decisions to make. I mean, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and there's still lots of opinions out there about how do we navigate this. What do you believe about that? And how are you determining what you believe about that? We are entering into, we've been entered into the last 3 weeks or so, the most robust dialogue about race that our country's been in for half a century. What do you believe about this? And how are you determining what you believe? And how are you determining about what you believe about where we go from here? And in the midst of everything around those two big, gigantic issues that we need to be talking about, in some ways we've forgotten that we have a presidential election in 4.5 months. In any normal year, that's all we'd be talking about. We have big decisions to make in 2020. And let's just own this. Those three issues, plus many, many others, are big enough that none of us can figure out simply on our own what we believe or what we think we should do moving forward. We all have voices that are influencing us. We all have people that we're listening to. And let me just ask you this morning, right off the top, who are the voices that you're spending the most time listening to? Who is it that you have given authority in your life to help you determine what it is that you believe? This morning, I'm going to push into that question just a little bit. And we're going to do really three things together. I'm going to tell you about a time in my life when I was called out by the one person that I want to be called out by the least in the entire world. Hey, what he called me out about was a voice that I was allowing to have too much weight in my life. We're going to look at some people who 2,000 years ago had to navigate some of the same kinds of issues that we are, and we're going to look at how they determine what voices to listen to, and then we're going to get super practical. We're not going to get so practical that I'm going to tell you who you should be listening to. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to show us how it is that we should be determining who it is that we should be listening to. So, if you're here this morning and you're saying, I need some help determining what it is that I believe or what it is that we should do, all of this is confusing to me, I think that this scripture this morning is going to be helpful to you. Before we dive into all of that, let's take a moment, let's pray together. God, thank you for this time that we get to spend together. I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, will be with us. Lord, we're going to read a passage this morning, just 7 verses, not real long, that I know that you have shown me something new in over the last couple of weeks. And I pray that it will show all of us that are a part of this worship service this morning something new, that you'll pour something fresh into us. And as we seek to be men and women who faithfully determine what it is that we believe and what it is that we believe that we should be doing as a society, I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, will give us thoughts to think, that you'll give me words to speak, and that you'll give us all ears to hear how it is that your Spirit might be moving. God, we love you. We pray these things in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Though I'd encourage you, if you've got one handy, to grab one. We're going to walk through just the first 7 verses of Acts chapter 6, and I just find it helpful to circle things, to underline things, to make notes. If you feel a little bit uneasy about that, allow me to give you permission. I have markings in my Bible, and there's been no lightning in my life recently, okay? It is okay to make marks. I find it as a way to engage with the Scripture, and you may want to circle some things, make some notes this morning. So, as you're turning to Acts chapter 6, let me tell you a little bit of story to kind of set things up. In the fall of 2020, I was in a conversation about the upcoming presidential election. It's hard to believe that election was 20 years ago. And during that conversation, somebody said something that really, really bothered me. To the degree that we were sitting around a table, this person was not at the table, I was. They said something, and I picked up my spoon, and I threw my spoon at this person, okay? Because I didn't want to throw the knife or the fork, right? So I threw my spoon at the person. Now, truth be told, I missed them with the spoon, and then I threw the fork. But that's a different story, okay? Hey, what this person said to me is they said, I know who Matt's going to vote for. He's going to vote for whoever Eddie Vedder tells him to vote for. Now, for those of you who don't know, Eddie Vedder is the lead singer of the band Pearl Jam, okay? Which was my favorite band. It's still a band that I listen to today. And it drove me crazy when this person said this. Because it was true. Because it was true. That in my first opportunity to vote for the President of the United States of America, the number one voice in my life helping me to determine who I should vote for was a rock star, okay? And then, if I'm being honest, you know who the second voice in my life probably was? It was probably Lorne Michaels in the Saturday Night Live cast, okay? And you know who called me out? It was my little brother. I mean, the worst person on the planet to call you out. He couldn't even vote, right? The worst person on the planet to call you out for something like that. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, me taking my vote that I had been given and casting it without actually having done any kind of critical thinking about which candidate I thought would represent our country best, without actually digging into the issues, just taking the advice of really one person, it was at best negligent. Here's what I find. I find that in many ways, I'm still tempted to do the same thing today. Now, maybe it's not with Eddie Vedder, but maybe it's with other people. That it's so tempting for me just to listen to what other people think and what other people believe and uncritically begin to believe that myself also. And one of the things that our society is notorious for today is putting ourselves in echo chambers where we just read news that's going to put forward beliefs that we already believe. We just listen to podcasts that we know that they're going to say things that we like. But friends, especially if we're going to be people who take our faith seriously, we have to be people who think about these issues critically. And the most important first step that we can take if we're going to be men and women who think through these issues critically is being intentional about who it is that we listen to. So, what voices are you giving authority in your life? Who is it that you're listening to? Maybe it's a rock star or a celebrity, or maybe it's a pundit in the 24-hour news cycle. Maybe it's a blogger that you really like. Maybe it's a friend. Who is it that has authority in your life to help you determine what you believe and what we should do? Okay, and now let's take a step back. Let's look at a group of people who had to make some big decisions also. Now, if you're somebody who believes that the Bible is just a bunch of stories about things that happened a long time ago, this story, these seven verses, is going to fly right in the face of that. Because there is a lot here that has everything to do with what's happening right now. Okay, let's jump into this. Verse 1, chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, so this is a time when the church is growing like crazy. We're in a church-wide reading plan right now where we're reading through Acts. In fact, tomorrow, we're starting the second half of Acts. It's not too late to jump in. If you missed out on the first half, don't miss out on the second half. hpmc.org/Bible, everything that you need to know is right there. So this is something we read a couple of weeks ago in that reading plan. The church is growing like crazy. But a complaint arose. I mean, do you see what happens here? I mean, early on, the church is united. Everybody's moving in the same direction. It's growing like crazy, and everything's going well. But then a complaint arose. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected by the daily distribution. Okay, what in the world does that sentence mean? Okay, we got two groups of people, Hellenists and Hebrews. They're both groups of Jews who had come to believe in Jesus. Hellenists were Jews who spoke Greek, which likely means that they grew up outside of Israel, which likely means that they had customs that were not just strictly Jewish customs, but also from whatever country they grew up in. So you've got the Hellenists who speak Greek, and then you've got the Hebrews, and these are Jews that grew up in Israel that speak Aramaic. Okay, so you've got these two groups that are united by Jesus, but they're divided by the languages that they speak and divided by some other cultural differences. And the Hellenists said, hey, we got a problem here. Our widows, they're being neglected. You know, early on, the church recognized we need to be taking care of the widows, the outcasts in society. Because what it meant to be a widow that day is it meant that either your husband had died or your husband had left you. And if you became a widow, really there are three options that you have. Find a family member who's generous enough to take you in, become a beggar, or become a prostitute. And many of the widows ended up on the streets. And the early church, taking this from their Jewish heritage, said, we're not good with that. We're going to have a daily distribution to help care for these women. But the Greek-speaking early Christians said, hey, our people aren't being taken care of. So the 12, this is the 12 disciples, they summoned the full number of the disciples. They summoned everybody together, and they said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Okay, this sounds kind of harsh, but what they're saying is, look, we have a particular role here. We're the people that were following Jesus around while he was alive. We have a unique position in which we can preach what he taught. We need to be spending our time doing that, and we need to find other people that can fix this problem. Well, who are we going to find to fix this problem? Therefore, brothers and sisters, here's what we're going to do. Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, have a good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we're going to appoint to this duty. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. So the whole gathering, they chose 7 people. They chose Stephen, who's a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And they chose Philip, and they chose Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas. Nicholas was a proselyte of Antioch, meaning that he wasn't born a Jew, but he became a Jew later. And these they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid hands on them. Here's something interesting that I didn't know until recently. Those 7 names there that I read out, they're all Greek names. So who do they pick to lift up, to put in charge of fixing this problem? Well, they pick 7 people from the community that wasn't being served well. They pick 7 Greeks. They say, we need you to come, and we need you to lead this, to help fix this. And then the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You start out with unity, you get division, and you end again with unity. But how did they fix that division? How did they do this? Well, they lifted up 7 voices, 7 people that they put in a place of authority. And did you pick up on the characteristics that these 7 people had? Did you pick up on that? Here's number 1. And these are the 3 things that I think that we need to run the influences in our lives. We need to run the influences in our lives through these 3 filters. Here's number 1. They're all Greeks. They're all people who are close to the problem. Do you see that? They're all people with close proximity to what the problem is. So as you're seeking to navigate, how do we deal with racial inequality and racial injustice, how do we deal with that? Well, we got to listen to the people that are closest to the problem. And if you're concerned with police brutality and all those things, well, then you got to listen to police officers too. We have to listen to the people closest to the problem. If you're concerned with the coronavirus, listen to the people closest to the problem. Are you listening to people who have close proximity to what these issues are? But then notice this. They didn't pick 7 Greeks at random, okay? They didn't pick just any 7 Greeks, but they picked 7 Greek men who had a particular characteristic, 2 particular characteristics. Go back up a couple of verses. They picked men of good repute who were full of the Spirit and of wisdom. The people that you're listening to, do they have wisdom? Do they have wisdom in particular about the issue that you're seeking their guidance in? One of the things that drives me crazy is the celebrity culture that we have in North America in particular. It just drives me nuts. I mean, we have somebody that can sing well and can dance well and makes great music videos, and we suddenly think that they are an expert in everything from immunology to the economy to politics. A buddy of mine, I was talking with him about this the other day, and he said, if I'm trying to figure out what to do with my lawn, I'm not calling Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? I mean, nobody's going to take Bieber's advice on how to manicure your lawn. But yet we take celebrities who are good at one thing, and we think that must mean that they are an expert at everything. And again, maybe for you, it's like a celebrity in that way, or maybe it's a pundit funded by the 24-hour. We take these individuals, and maybe they have no wisdom to offer in this particular area, but we just grant them authority to speak into our lives. Here's the deal about Eddie Vedder. Pearl Jam's music helped me in a lot of ways. I'll never forget laying on my grandmother's floor in Monticello, Georgia, listening to their second album on tape, Verses, and listening to a song called WMA, and realizing for the first time the power that music could have in somebody's life, in my life, that it wasn't just a form of entertainment, and realizing for the first time, in some ways, I mean, it certainly influenced me, about the racial injustice in our country. I mean, Eddie Vedder was a voice in my life that was helpful to me, but he was not the person that I needed to be listening to when it came down to who I wanted to vote for. Ironically, you know, 20 years after that, I find myself as a pastor in a church where one of the candidates in that election is a member of our church. And Mr. President, if you're watching, it probably won't come as any surprise to you that your base of support in that campaign wasn't the grunge rock scene, right? So Eddie Vedder was teaching me to believe and to do was certainly something that he had a strong conviction around and a voice that I needed to listen to. But I was foolish to just listen to one voice. Does the person that you have given authority in your life have wisdom when it comes to what you're listening to them about? And then the last one. And frankly, friends, I think that this is the big one. These people not only had wisdom, but they were also full of the Spirit. They were also filled with the power of the Spirit. It means that they were men, and of course there were women around also that were influencing this. Men and women who were following after Jesus. Now, don't pull a soundbite out here and say that I'm saying something that I'm not. I'm in no way saying that we should not listen to non-Christians. I'm in no way saying that non-Christians have nothing to offer in these conversations. Of course they do. But here is what I'm saying, and I want to say this very, very clearly. As Christians, we have a unique perspective on how the world works. And as I've been saying in this online Bible study that I lead over and over and over again, if we take Jesus seriously, then Jesus becomes someone that we not only build into our lives, but he becomes someone that we build our whole lives around. Meaning that we see every issue, every decision, every path forward, we see everything through the lens of Jesus. We seek to see everything through the lens of our faith. And we need to be listening to our brothers and sisters who can help us navigate all of these issues through the lens of our Christian beliefs. What are some of those beliefs? Some of the things that we believe is that we believe that all people are created in the image of God. All people. There is no distinction between us based on any of our external appearances or our experiences. We also believe that all people, again, regardless of skin color or experience or anything else, we believe that all people are fallen and are broken and have sin in their lives. All people, everybody, across the board, everyone. And we believe that all people are within the grasp of God's grace. Everybody. We believe that. Which means that when we're navigating all of these big decisions that we have to make, we need to be listening to people who can help us to interpret these decisions through the lens of those beliefs. And we have values. We value seeking the truth. We value rooting our decisions in reality, in the truths of the world. We value things like facts. We value rooting our beliefs in the truth. And we value forgiveness. And we value people reconciling. And we value grace. And we value sacrificial service. And we need to be listening to men and women in our lives that value the same things. Of course, we should be listening to the experts that they don't have the same faith that we do. But when we're ultimately deciding what we believe and what we should do, we do best when we, like the early church, listen to men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. So who are you listening to? Who has authority in your life? Are they people that have proximity to the problem? Are they people that have wisdom to offer? Are they people that are filled with the Holy Spirit? Because those people are out there. And those are the voices that we do well to be listening to. I'm going to wrap up with some practical stuff, but then also this quick quote. This is from a man named Dallas Willard, who's a spiritual giant. He died a few years ago, and in 1999, he wrote a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines, which has tremendously influenced my life. And this is one of the things that he says, again, writing in the late 90s. The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. Nothing wrong with diplomats, nothing wrong with politicians or business leaders, nothing wrong with celebrities. But he says, look, the world can't be left to them. Okay, we can't trust them to figure all this stuff out. They've done the best they could, no doubt. But this is an age for, oh, come on, get this. This is an age for spiritual heroes. A time for men and women to be heroic in their faith and in spiritual character and in power. He says the greatest danger to the Christian church today is that of pitching its message too low. We need men and women to be heroic in their faith, in spiritual character, and in power. It's the spiritual heroes that we need to be listening to. And if that quote doesn't convince you, and if the scripture doesn't convince you, then maybe history will. Just look at the issue of race. Just look at that. I mean, who was it who led the charge to abolish the transatlantic slave trade? If you're normally in one of the services that I preach on Sunday mornings, you probably know this guy's name. I talk about him a lot. Who was it who led that charge? Many, many people participated in that movement. Who led the charge? William Wilberforce, a deeply committed Christian, driven by his faith. A selfish man pursuing his own political desires until he met Jesus, then threw all of that out the window and spent decades going after the abolition of the slave trade. Who was on the front lines of saving slaves and moving them from slave states to free states? Many, many people, but the one that we know the best, Harriet Tubman, a deeply committed Christian, a personal relationship with God, who received visions from the Spirit about where to and where not to go as she moved men and women north. Who is it that signed the papers to abolish slavery in the United States? Many people participated in that, but a devout Christian man, Abraham Lincoln, signed those papers. Who led the charge in the 1960s? Men and women like Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King Jr., spiritual giants, friends. If you don't believe this because of the scripture, you don't believe this because of what I'm saying, just look at history. It has been spiritual giants that have led us in the past, and it will be spiritual giants who will move us forward in the future. To get really practical, if you want to know what to listen to, first listen to the words of the scripture. John prayed about this earlier. Listen to the words of the scripture. If you want to know what the scripture says about race, right before quarantine, I preached a sermon about what the Bible says about slavery. Go back and listen to that. Learn what the scripture says about all of these issues that we're navigating. Hey, you want to go further than that? Listen to the great historical figures, the people that I quoted just a moment ago, and others who came before us, spiritual giants, to help us to navigate the world that we're living in today. And then, who are the voices today? Forget the famous voices for just a second. Forget the people that have written the books, that have the TED Talks. Forget that for a second. Who are the people that you know who love the Lord, who have wisdom to offer here, and who are close to the problem? And be bold and talk to them. Friends, all of us every day make decisions about who we are going to grant authority in our lives to help us navigate the questions that are facing us day by day. All of us grant somebody authority in our lives. Who are you giving that authority to? And beginning today, can you seek out some of those spiritual giants? People like Paul in the scripture. People like Martin Luther King Jr. who came before us. And people like fill in the blank, the person that you know that you can call. This is an age where we need spiritual heroes. And by listening to those spiritual heroes that have come before us, or that can lead us now, you might just find yourself at a place where you're put in a position where you can do something heroic as well. We can no longer trust that the celebrities or the politicians or the business leaders will be the ones to lead us forward. They're not bad people, but they don't have the wisdom that this has to lead us forward. So, if you're a politician or a business leader or a celebrity, and you've got these words inside of you, then lead and lead boldly. But if you're an ordinary, regular person like me, then let's do the same thing. Listen to those voices in our lives that should have authority and lead forward through the lens of our faith. And as we do that, we can trust that the power of the Holy Spirit will go with us to lead us day by day, to give us grace, and to help us be a part of His movement to heal our world. God, thank You for this time that we've had together, and thank You for the words of Scripture that still speak to us today. We pray that You, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, will continue to lead us and guide us, lift up those voices in our lives that we need to be listening to, and quiet those voices in our lives that we don't need anymore. Help us be men and women of great faith, who are following after You by following after the spiritual heroes that are around us. God, we love You. Help us be wise and discerning as we seek to navigate these times. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.